Cedric Muhammad.
You can lift somebody's spirit. Praising, casting light, something we do at BlackElectric.com on a daily basis. And it's been few and far between that I have found people that were not insecure and didn't mind putting light on me, even if, and allowing me to be myself. Some people want you to fit into what they're doing, but there's few and far between individuals who can handle you being independent and free while they praise you and allow you, give you space to do your thing. So one such individual is the hater himself. I've been wanting to read an announcement on Star and Buck Wild. Very grateful for him. If you've heard Star's show, you know Star is not threatened by greatness, and he goes out of his way to show support and praise. We'll be hearing from him soon on radio, according to the latest news. But I want to acknowledge him. Definitely someone that I was shocked to see how humble they can be in lifting up other people. We'll be right back. Hour number 5, the hottest show in the diaspora, Cedric Muhammad Black Coffee Program.
Yeah, so we don't do shout-outs, but we do acknowledge people from time to time. I want to acknowledge someone by the name of Cedric Muhammad, who I spoke to last night.
Aww. Yeah, man.
He's become a dear friend. A man of substance and intellectual. Let me give you some of his websites. And many of you longtime Star and Buckwild listeners, you know this man's pedigree very well. BlackCoffeeChannel.com. I repeat, BlackCoffeeChannel.com is where you can go. He's doing a very, very politically conscious radio show at BlackCoffeeChannel.com, and also BlackElectorate.com. As a website that we've spoken about from time to time. Again, BlackElectorate.com.
Cedric Muhammad. Cedric Muhammad. Cedric Muhammad.
Don't go making no more your moves. Wanna do? Don't be copying no attitude. Wait to do.
We'll be right back.
Sean Kingston, let's talk about him. Come on, your children are listening to this guy. New album tomorrow. We'll talk about this new Michael Moore movie. Are you all still feeling Michael Moore? Is Michael Moore still hot? Another article on Libya. Credit ratings in the IMF. Sean, speak to him. Let him know why you are the second coming of a certain group.
Sweat from my brows running down to my eyes. Everything you are is what I need in my life.
This is called War. If you have actually bought this album, let me know. Going to enjoy his album, but I really want to use him to make another point about how history repeats itself. I see another group in this man, this young brother. Let me get some of you all familiar with him, because it's a good chance you haven't heard of him. Article from CP, Canadian Press. Sean Kingston on issues with girls, providing for his family, and a sophomore CD. Give me a shot of him. I'm feeling this. You don't like this? War? Come on, Sean. Okay. Give you some background on the bro. After the huge success of his self-titled debut, singer-songwriter Sean Kingston still had one problem, girls. It's like I meet this girl, she's like, I don't want to be with you, you're too chubby. I don't like the chubby guys, he explains about his new single, Face Drop. But I'm like, yo, you should take the time out to see how I am inside. It should be about my inner, not my outer. But she judged me and didn't want to be with me. But now I got my own girl, I'm doing my own thing, and I made her face drop. She's like, oh my God. Kingston's first CD went gold, and three singles. You know how many people can relate to that, what he just said, in high school? This is why he's going to sell, as long as he keeps the formula. This is called Fire Burning. Let me finish reading this, dog. The 19-year-old, Miami-born, Jamaican-bred performer is also hoping music lovers will be blown away with the sound of his sophomore album tomorrow. The CD's first single, The Party Jam Fire Burning, is a hit, and Kingston's hope to further duplicate the success of his first CD with album collaborations such as Wyclef Jean, Good Charlotte, and Red One, the producer behind Lady Gaga's Poker Face and Just Dance. Kingston recently talked about image, his relationships, and success with the Associated Press. Here's a couple questions and answers. AP, did you ever feel like you needed to lose weight or address your image since your success? Sean Kingston. Not really. That's what a lot of people love about Sean Kingston. Because people tend to say, okay, you're a star. You have to have a six-pack. You have to do this. You have to do that. But back in the day, these guys were all about music. It wasn't about you have to be this, that. It was about the music. I agree that you have to carry yourself a little bit on star standards. You can't carry yourself sloppy. I don't want to be sloppy, and I don't want to be unhealthy, but this is me. Take it or leave it. AP, are you ever afraid that you might one day be considered a singles artist as opposed to an albums artist? Sean Kingston says, I feel that you are absolutely right, that you can be looked at as a singles artist. But when people start to see, wow, this kid is starting to put out great singles, let's see what his album sounds like. I feel like I grew up on music. I grew up on reggae. My grandfather is a huge producer, Jack Ruby. He worked with Bob Marley. He was a huge producer back in the day in his days in Jamaica. So this is something that I know I can do. I hate when people say it's just a few songs on the radio because it's not really like that. I feel like I have longevity. AP, how has life changed? Sean Kingston, I have traveled the world. I'd be able to take care of my family, and that's what's most important because I came from nothing. And just to be where I'm at, I'm living my dream. It's amazing, and I wouldn't trade it for nothing in the world. AP says, you and your mother were separated when you were a child and you lived with your aunt. How is your relationship now? Sean Kingston says, everybody's doing fine now. The relationship is great. My mom is like my co-manager now. My sister is like my co-stylist. He's definitely employing the family. Co-stylist. So everybody has a position and everybody's happy and stuff is going great now. AP, now that you've made it, how do you look at how you grew up? Sean Kingston, I'm from Kingston, Jamaica. Kingston. And people don't really make it to become big celebrities, like crossover celebrities like I am. So I feel like to be doing what I'm doing right now, to come in at 16, there was a lot of stuff. But now I'm 19 and I'm connected with the right people. It's amazing. Sean Kingston.
Cedric Muhammad transforms into DJ C Nice only in the Cedric Muhammad and Black Coffee program.
This is called My Girlfriend. New Sean Kingston album tomorrow. Okay, let me read this article about Michael Moore. He was interviewed by the Wall Street Journal. I don't know if you all are going to see his new movie coming out, but if I have time, I'll catch it. I'm very worn out. Oh, by the way, all of you victims out there, you people who ordered Mayweather Marquez, pay $50. Your boy C Nice over here. your boy C Nice, aka Cedric Muhammad, will be watching on HBO for free. I did not watch the fight. I did not pay a dime to watch Perfection, the return of Money May. What was the pay-per-view amount on that? I had predicted 600,000. Let's see how well I did. And that is on record. I said 600,000 buys. Let's talk about Michael Moore for a second, though. New Sean Kingston. Capitalism, love, and Mr. Moore. Lincoln Center seems like a problematic venue for the New York debut of Michael Moore's movie Capitalism, a love story, a nearly two-hour-long rebuke of Wall Street and corporations. The fans, celebrities, and journalists who crowded the newly renovated Lincoln Center on Monday night sipped wine in the Morgan Stanley lobby, for real, not a name made up for the event, and then headed to their seats in the city balcony, as in Citibank. Outside, the public gathered around the Credit Suisse Information Grandstand. Lincoln Center, in short, sits on a foundation built with big bucks from Wall Street. This is Face Drop, Sean Kingston. Let me hit this first question and answer from Michael Moore. It says here, why call the movie Capitalism a love story? You don't seem to love very much about capitalism. Michael Moore says, it is a love story about the well-to-do. They happen to love their money very much. Now they love our money, and they want all of our money and our homes. It's about their love. Wall Street Journal, Deal Journal says, you criticize Congress, particularly Democrats, for bailing out Wall Street, but what should they have done instead? Michael Moore, let's do what they did during the savings and loan crisis of the 1980s. You put the banks in receivership and decide which ones deserve money and which ones don't. You don't just hand out free money to lunatics. Deal Journal. Question. The auto bailout gave a large ownership stake of GM and Chrysler to the auto workers union. Isn't that something you would support? Michael Moore. My role is not to applaud half measures. My job isn't to start from a position of compromise. The workers need to own 100% of GM. The workers decide whether to accept investors. And the consumer who buys the car needs to have a representative on the board. If you let them have a say, the company will build a better car. Wall Street Journal. Question. Your movie details greed and excess on Wall Street. Why didn't you address the greed of consumers who bought large houses and big ticket items with borrowed money they couldn't afford? Michael Moore. It was disturbing how during the first weeks of the crash, the news reports focused on the subprime people and how they live beyond their means. The number one cause of foreclosures are medical bills that people can't afford. There is a group of people who do live beyond their means, but that's been going on for hundreds of years and that hasn't caused crashes in the past. Wall Street Journal. How did you feel about your film premiering in New York City's Lincoln Center, an institution heavily funded by Wall Street? Michael Moore. Chuckle. I walked in the theater and saw the names of the banks and I said, that is what I do for a living. Irony. I am now piling irony on top of irony. These financial institutions should be giving their money away. Oh, stop it, Michael. It's about business, baby. Go get money, man. You love money. Michael Moore, you love money. Stop blaming Wall Street.
Cedric Muhammad transforms into DJ C. Nice. Only on the Cedric Muhammad and Black Coffee program.
We're listening to tracks off of the Sean Kingston album Tomorrow. This is called Magical. Michael Moore, stop it. I love you, man, but you love money. It's magical. These phony progressives kill me.
You make me feel inside. Can't let you go. No matter how me try, you stay on my mind. I can hold hands and you can hold mine. Now we can rock until the morning light. If I could, I would change about the 100 times. And we can do everything so right.
Send your comments. I be leaving on time. I said, I be leaving. I get out here on time. Hour number 5 is over. Trent from Asbury Park, New Jersey. He knows, don't mess with me no more. I don't be standing no more overtime. I'm like Michael Moore. You got to pay me. Send in your comments if you've been pumping the Sean Kingston album. And if you, like me, are thinking of a certain group from 20 years ago that he reminds you of in terms of the market that he's going to capture. On the road. Vic from Huntsville, Alabama says he has gotten 50's book. He says, get 50's book. It's got more personality than the first three. Vic from Huntsville, Alabama. Member of the business and building community, by the way. Oh, my man. My partner, Sam, he's catching the show. He says, peace said, first time in a long time catching the show, live or otherwise. Can you tell us, quote-unquote, fans and quote-unquote followers where we can get this book when it drops? BlackElectorate.com and another website on the way. Stay tuned. The Entrepreneurial Secret to Starting a Business Without a Bank Loan, Collateral, or Revenue. 3-volume series from yours truly coming out October 7th.
Love is magic.
Cedric Muhammad transforms into DJ C Nice. Only on the Cedric Muhammad and Black Coffee program.
I think this is a nasty little song. Hold on. I think this is a little nasty little innuendo song. Island Queen or something like that.
Body's getting hotter, the sweat dripping off of you. Now break it down slow. Where I'm from, girl, that's how we do. Now give me some more. Yeah, got the whole club watching.
Tasha from Miami, she says, yay. And we say yay that you're here, Tasha. We just give you a yay for that. We love Tasha. She says, that was where I was first introduced to the magnificent Cedric Muhammad. I need to send Star a thank you note. Yes, we love Star. Too many people unable to offer praise to other people because they're insecure. Not the hater. Here's a nasty little song. Sean Kingston, this is Hot Dog.
If it was up to me, you'd be wearing my diamond ring.
There ain't nothing to be cool conscious about this song.
Hold on, one more time.
There ain't nothing political or conscious about this song, but it sure is hot. You are tuned in to the Cedric Muhammad and Black Coffee program.
I think Tasha from Miami is the island queen. Perhaps. No, she is, definitely. We done the lineage on her. Let me get you, I'll be out of here on time. So if you're saving a pithy, witty comment, bad move. He said, you take me to another place by the way you move your waist. Right, this is Tomorrow. Title track off the new Sean Kingston album. I will reveal momentarily who he reminds me of.
Visions in my head would lay. All the plans I had delay. Tricks on me, my mind will play. See you laying next to me. When that shakes the barley tree. Kurt, the only friend of me. He prepared me food and drink. Cause I will need all my strength tomorrow. I'm finally coming home tomorrow.
Our brother Jerome from Philly is in the building. Says, I just want to give you the greetings. Thank you, Jerome. Ramadan, Mubarak, Eid Mubarak. We missed all of that, right? But anyway, here's what Jerome from Philly says. He says, I just want to give you the greetings. I came on late after your discussion about Brother Gaddafi. One comment. I was hoping he stopped after the eye-opener he began with on the inequality that existed at the UN. He, in effect, told the member states to overthrow how the UN is run. I knew after he rambled on that his message will be lost and framed as disjointed and rambling. A missed opportunity? ? Well, we played 30 minutes, I think, or 20 minutes of Brother Gaddafi's speech. Was it a missed opportunity? Let me think. That's a great question, Jerome. Let me think about this. It depends on how widely they distribute the transcript, because if the rest of the world hears what he had to say, if all of Africa gets it, Central South America, Asia, they're going to rally around it, progressive socialist folks in Europe. I think, you know, and let me just say this, I'm not a stranger to hearing Brother Gaddafi do live things. He tends to go, this is his, how he flows, all right? But maybe he felt like this was a grand opportunity and he did not want to miss out on saying a lot of different points, and really there was no main point in his eyes. So while Jerome, me, you, some of the listeners may have felt that that was Brother Gaddafi's most powerful point made today, maybe in his mind the point about swine flu was bigger. Him representing the African Union may have been bigger. His critique of President Obama's speech, I don't know if we have some of that. I'm going to give you a little bit of Al Jazeera. I'm glad that Brother Jerome brought that up. What do you all think? Do you think that Brother Gaddafi missed an opportunity, that his most powerful point was the radical reform of the UN that he called for, that it would get lost in him continuing to talk? He went almost 2 hours, I think. It did not go over well with the commentator on Al Jazeera. I think I have that. Let's see. This may be Brother Gaddafi on Obama.
We shall send you the rolling thunder the same way that was sent to Vietnam, and the sandstorm like it was sent to Iraq. And we shall send you...
This is Brother Gaddafi critiquing parts of President Obama's speech, if I'm correct.
And the night as it was sent to Egypt in 56, even though America was against the operation, the night operations, and we shall send you the poisonous rose that Reagan sent to the Libyan children. Can you imagine a president of the president of a permanent country, a big country, has a permanent seat of security councils, has a right of veto? We thought that America will protect us and send us peace. What is it? These are laser guided bombs sent to us according to the carried on the F1F airplanes. This was the logic, and we shall lead the world, and we shall punish anyone, whether you like it or not. We shall punish anyone who will be against us. Now, what our son Obama said is completely different today. He is calling for...
Let me just say something. The leader that they really don't want to hear talk is Abiy, because he has mastered the king's English. They never want to give Mugabe prime time because he knows English. Part of the problem with Brother Gaddafi's speech, the way that they will make mischief with it, is because of the hurried manner in which the interpreters are speaking. And Brother Gaddafi's very animated. So one thing about him that I like is he gets things done behind the scenes. So he's not necessarily the orator, per se, that maybe even a Chavez is. Let me read this article. We're listening to Sean Kingston's album. His article in the Financial Times called The Changing Face of Libya on Monday. This is kind of like what I'm saying. Some of the behind the scenes stuff going on. While the rhetoric is strong at the UN, some business management and bureaucratic reforms are taking place inside of the nation of Libya. It says here, Libya's civil service is undergoing a radical transformation. Much of this change is being driven from within, yet assisted by skills imported from the West. The Libyan government is keen to reform its public sector by improving efficiency and stamping out corruption. In 2007, the country's National Economic Development Board asked for proposals to help modernize the civil service of about 800,000 staff by developing a two-stage leadership program for selected upper and middle management Libyans. It turned to the executive education arm of the London School of Economics and Political Science. Now, this is the real value of what I was saying earlier about President Obama being a diasporic personality and a cultural entrepreneur. You can have a strong message for the West, and maybe even for the consumption of your followers or the people. But if you do need help in a certain area and there's some science that you can get, you're open to things. Now, I don't know if the London School of Economics is who Libya should be turning to, but I do like some of the openness. Let me continue with this article. Again, it's called The Changing Face of Libya, Monday's Financial Times. Francis Terry, professor of public management and co-director of the course, says, quote, they are seeking agents of change, and gave us a clear brief as to what they wanted: innovation, leadership, and learning from the best international practice. Let me put the camera on me because I want to rant now. I want to make a point.
Cedric Muhammad.